The year was 1964. It was the middle of the night in Vietnam, mid-morning in Washington, D.C., when Defense Secretary Robert McNamara called the Navy's commanding officer in the Pacific.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Ollie Bob. Sorry to waken you tonight. Have you seen these messages regarding the Maddox and a possible attack on it?
No, sir. I just got in.
An American destroyer had apparently come under fire in the Gulf of Tonkin. The National Military Command Center recorded the call. By the end of that August day, as tapes of his presidency now revealed, President Lyndon Johnson would turn a skirmish off the coast of Vietnam into a milestone in the American involvement in war there. Afterward, it became almost impossible to turn back. NPR's Bruce Auster reports on the politics that helped shape events 40 years ago this week.
So much of what came later in Vietnam can be traced back to 7 days in 1964. The commitment of troops, the 57,000 lost American lives, the quagmire, and the credibility gap. The deeper American involvement in Vietnam began when President Lyndon Johnson asked Congress to give him the power to use force there.
I shall immediately request the Congress to pass a resolution that our government is united in its determination to take all necessary measures in support of freedom in Southeast Asia.
As he sought the Tonkin Gulf resolution, Johnson said there were two attacks on American warships. He claimed the first was unprovoked. It wasn't. And the second attack may never have even happened. Johnson's actions were driven by incomplete and confused military intelligence. And there was another small matter on his mind. A presidential election was just 3 months away. Robert Dalek is a visiting professor of history at Dartmouth College and a Johnson biographer. He says Johnson was concerned that Republican presidential nominee Barry Goldwater not be seen as stronger than Johnson on national security.
Now remember, Johnson has never been elected in his own right. He is Kennedy's successor as the consequence of John Kennedy's assassination. Johnson has been president now for only roughly nine and a half months, and he is not a proven commander-in-chief, so to speak, and he's very worried that Goldwater, who is appealing to hawks in America, and maybe make this into a crucial issue in the presidential election campaign.
They want to be damn sure I don't pull him out and run, and they want to be damn sure that we affirm.
This is a phone conversation between Lyndon Johnson and Defense Secretary McNamara. Johnson had just gotten off the phone with a supporter who told him the president had to be tough in the Gulf of Tonkin.
That's what all the country wants, because Goldwater is raising so much hell about how he's going to blow them off the moon, and they say that we oughtn't to do anything to leave the impression that if you shoot at us, you're going to get hit.
So Johnson did strike back, sending two destroyers back into the Gulf of Tonkin. Publicly, he left the impression that the first attack on the Maddox was unprovoked. He knew at the time that was not true, as he told his friend Robert Anderson, a Republican who served in the Eisenhower administration and who backed LBJ.
There have been some covert operations, blowing up some bridges and things of that kind. So I imagine they wanted to put a stop to it. So they come out there and fire, and that's where we are now.
Johnson talked with Anderson about covert operations on the phone. The man LBJ was thinking about naming his vice presidential running mate, Hubert Humphrey, let the secret out on television. Robert Dalek.
Johnson is very concerned that Humphrey, who he views as something of a quote-unquote motor mouth, should keep his peace. And so Johnson talks to James Rowe. James Rowe was close to both Johnson and Humphrey. He had been in Franklin Roosevelt's White House. And so Johnson speaks frankly to him on the telephone about how he needs to rein Humphrey in. And the whole implication is, listen, if he wants to be my vice president, he's going to have to act and speak in ways that will not give Barry Goldwater any opening to attack me, Lyndon Johnson, as being weak on foreign policy.
I don't know how to get this message over, but this boy, our friend Hubert, is just destroying himself with his big mouth. Yesterday morning, he went on the TV and they said, how would you account for these attack on our destroyers when we innocently out there in the Gulf 60 miles from shore? Humphrey said, well, we have been carrying on some covert operations where we have been going in and knocking out roads and petroleum things and so forth. And that's exactly what we have been doing. And it's just, you just got to understand that you can't talk about war plans. You just can't talk about it.
2 days after the attack on the Maddox, Johnson sent two warships back into the Gulf. Sailors reported they were under attack. By mid-morning in Washington, military commanders were not sure what had really happened. Here's an excerpt as recorded by the National Military Command Center at the Pentagon.
The latest thing we have, many of the reported contacts and torpedoes fired appear doubtful. Freak weather effects on radar and overeager sonarmen may have accounted for many reports. No actual visual sightings by Maddox.
Johnson, before speaking to the nation that night, wanted to know if there was solid evidence of an attack by North Vietnam.
They still didn't know if an attack had actually, really, truly taken place, but they gave the assurances.
Again, Robert Dalek.
And in a sense, what you see there is the way in which these commanders were probably responding to what Lyndon Johnson wanted to hear. He wanted to hear that there was solid evidence of such an attack. He didn't want to have some kind of mealy-mouthed response that, well, maybe, yes, perhaps, could have been. That was insufficient. So whether they knew or not, they gave that commitment. They gave that reassurance. And Johnson, therefore, was acting on poorer intelligence. Sound familiar?
The president ordered airstrikes on North Vietnamese targets that night. Most historians now believe no attack occurred on August 4th. And the White House drafted a resolution asking Congress for the power to use military force in Southeast Asia. Defense Secretary Robert McNamara gave the president a progress report on deliberations on Capitol Hill.
On the whole, I think the hearings were very satisfactory. It was just a near unanimous support for not only for everything you've done, but near unanimous support for everything you may do in the future. And generally a blank check authorization for further action.
The final vote in Congress was 88-2. Many senators later publicly said they wish they had not supported the resolution. The president did cash his blank check, bombing the North and sending American troops, and reminding Congress that they had given him all the authority he needed to act. As Johnson put it, the Tonkin Gulf resolution was like a grandmother's nightshirt. It covers everything. Bruce Auster, NPR News, Washington.
The University of Virginia's Miller Center of Public Affairs has cataloged the tapes of Lyndon Johnson's phone conversations. Samples of the tapes can be found at npr.org.